stress. We all feel it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is inevitable. And what if we don't have to struggle? What if stress is an amazing, glorious gift to us as leaders? Stay tuned for this one. Welcome to the PeopleStack podcast, where I share insights on how to upgrade your career as a technical leader. I'm Jen Bunk. I am a career coach and co-CEO of the PeopleStack, along with my husband, Rob Allen. If you'd like to find out more about what we do here at the PeopleStack, please check out our free training at training.thepeoplestack.com. You're going to learn the four strategic and mindset shifts that our clients have used to command 300, 400, 500K plus salaries as tech leaders while living lives of abundance, freedom, and joy. And now, without further ado, please enjoy today's episode. Hello, hello there, my friends, you tech leader legends. Jen Bunk here, co-CEO of the PeopleStack, and we are here to help you transform your technical career so that you can earn, so that you can feel great about bringing in ludicrous and virtuous amounts of joy and prosperity into your life. I'm going to dive right in. We're talking about stress today. These are all my favorite topics. All of the topics we talk about in the podcast are my favorite, and they are all core and they are all central to becoming the best leader you can possibly be. They are all central to it. And this particular topic, stress, is very near and dear to my heart because it was my dissertation topic. So my PhD is in IO psychology, and my dissertation was on a particular stressor, workplace incivility, the experience of rudeness in the workplace. And I explored the negative effects that it can have, and also how those negative effects might be buffered, might be minimized. I'm not gonna go like too much into it. Into the, you know, the science of it. For those of you who want to, you can absolutely dig in at your own time, at your leisure. The thing that I want to really zero in on is that stress doesn't need to be a struggle. It doesn't. Stress is inevitable. The struggle is optional. Here's what I mean. Let's take a big step back and talk about what is stress. And I can feel the incoming chuckles as I explain how psychologists and others and scientists define stress. And you'll know exactly what I mean after I give you these examples, after I give you these definitions. So stress is a psychological response to a stressor. What is a stressor? A stressor is anything that causes stress. Insert recursive joke here, right? So it's like, okay, stressors cause stress. Okay, and then stress is a byproduct. Is caused by stressors. Okay, great. This really is how it's defined in the literature. And the reason that we do this way, by psychologists do this way, scientists do it this way, is because of the inherently perceptual nature of stress, the inherently internal nature of it, that it has so much to do with our perception, with the meaning that we make of the things that are happening around us in our environment. So what is stressful for one person is not for another. In other words, what is a stressor for one person is not for another. So we need to be able to appreciate that in our, even our scientific definitions of it. And some of you may also be familiar with the concept of strain. Those are the outcomes of stress. So a strain is simply any negative outcome, any negative effect, whether it's psychological, physical, emotional, spiritual, any negative behavioral, any negative effect of stress. So in other words, it goes, stressors cause stress, and stress causes strain. And the only way that the stressor causes stress is if the stressor is in fact appraised, perceived as something that's bad, as something that's harmful, as something that's stressful. So now that we have those definitions in place and that we're seeing that individual perception, an individual's appraisal is what it's called in the literature. I'm appraising, I am making meaning out of what is happening out there, external to me. And then from there, I'm going to react to it or not. I may not, because I may appraise it as completely non-threatening and not even a big deal. I might appraise it as a nothing, in other words. Okay, gonna go about my life. So, in other words, it's up to you. Now, this is not to say that we always have complete control over whether or not we experience something as a stressor and therefore experience stress. We don't always have complete control over that in the moment, I should say, because we all have internally written programs, internal neural pathways that are encoded, that have been encoded for years, often decades. And so if for decades we have experienced a particular thing as stressful, particular external environmental happening or situation as stressful, if we've done that for years and years and years and years and decades, we're going to keep doing that until we intentionally reprogram it. So we do have control even over that, but in the moment we may not. In the moment we may not if it's not reprogrammed. So it really is all up to us in the short term and long term. The extent to which we experience stress in the first place and the extent to which there is a struggle on the opposite side of that, right? So I'm stressed, and then, so the struggle would be lots of negative strain that my heart might start racing and my pupils might dilate and my blood pressure goes up, therefore, so there might be behavioral things. I might start fidgeting, right? So these are behavioral things. I might start to feel anxious, worried, mad, irritated, just fed up with life, right? So emotional, psychological responses. And then I may also feel like a shell of myself. I may feel like I'm not good enough. I may feel like no one loves me. I may feel like I have absolutely no control over this situation. That's struggling in response to stress. That's the strain. So in other words, we have an opportunity at both points in the stressor to stress and stress to strain flow. We have an opportunity in the stressor to stress flow. Because remember, stress is simply a psychological response. It's a feeling, and we all experience it slightly differently. But most of us know exactly what it means to feel stressed. So we all have an opportunity when something happens to us that might be bad, that might be appraised as bad or unwanted or negative. That's the stressor. We always have an opportunity to reappraise, to make meaning out of what's happening to us in the moment, so that we either completely eliminate the stress response or at least ameliorate it a little bit, lower that stress response a little bit. So we have an opportunity over there in the stressor to stress part of the equation. And then we also have an opportunity because sometimes it's just like, oh my God, this thing happened. This person is yelling at me and I'm freaking, oh wow, I'm not feeling good, right? Like, oh gosh, a fire alarm went off. Oh my God, I just fell and I may have like broke my ankle. Those kinds of things, like you're most likely gonna feel stress, right? Like that's why I say stress is inevitable, because there's certain things that happen in life that it's actually not even evolutionarily and in other ways helpful to not feel stress. Like there's a whole literature on this. Stress in a lot of ways is a good thing. Like it's our body's way, it's our mind's way of saying, hey, danger, Will Robinson, watch out. Right? And it doesn't even need to be, again, appraised in such like a negative way. It could just be pay attention. Stress often, our stress response is often simply our body, mind, spirit telling us, pay attention. Pay attention to this. So if you fall off a curb and potentially break your ankle and you're in an immense pain, you're going to feel stress in that moment. And that's a good thing because, hey, pay attention. And then we have an opportunity, whether, you know, that thing that happens, we just have this, that we have a programmed stress response to it, or because our body does, and it's good that we have that stress response, we have another opportunity and the stress or strain part of the equation to then either completely, again, completely remove the strain, the struggle, or reduce it. That, okay, I'm feeling this stress, I'm paying attention, and we have an opportunity to say, to choose whether or not it's going to get that response that we're having internally is going to be going to worsen or not. We have control over that. We do have control over our stress response, and we do have control over how we make meaning of the things that happen to us and whether or not we actually feel stress and the amount to which we feel it. Before I get into the question of the idea that stress can be a gift, because I realize that for a lot of you, this is a huge paradigm shift. It's a huge shift in the way that you live, in the way that you think, in the way that you be. And I do want to talk about that. And before I talk about that, I want to preface it with one other really important variable here in terms of how, because that may be the question that you're asking now. How do I influence my stress response and the outcomes of that stress? How do I influence that? And the answer is through your emotions. And this is another, for many of you, maybe another aha, wow, I never saw it that way moment. You can influence the emotions you feel. You can't control them 100% of the time, just like stress. Because our emotions are important, give us important information on what to pay attention to. And we don't always want to necessarily be able to control our emotions all the time. We want that information. We want that data from our body, from our mind, from our spirit. But you absolutely can influence the emotions that you feel. You can influence your emotional state. And there is definitely science to back this up. My dissertation was one of those pieces of science. And my dissertation was based on many other studies. And then since my dissertation was published in, oh gosh, I don't even remember now, 2006, something like that. It may have been before that. it was a whole other life. And I still remember the core of it, but I don't remember the date. And ever since my dissertation has been published, there's been lots of research to support the idea of the beneficial and negative effects of emotion on the stress process. In my dissertation in particular, I investigated the role of emotion in experiences of workplace incivility and experiences of workplace rudeness. And very briefly, what I found was that the emotional response mediated the effect of the experience of incivility on negative outcomes being decreased job satisfaction, decreased commitment, experiences of burnout, et cetera, et cetera. That the emotional response to the experience of rudeness mediated it. And now what this means in non-scientific terms is that it completely explained the relationship. So in other words, when someone experienced rudeness at work and responded to it with anger or guilt or fear, they experienced negative outcomes. On the flip side, when people experienced incivility and responded to it with acceptance or curiosity or even a sense of fun, a sense that this can be funny, this can be humorous, they experience positive outcomes. Now I want to be very, very clear here. Very, very clear. This is so, so, so important. This does not mean that it's okay for people to be a jerk. This does not mean that it's okay when people mistreat others. This does not mean that rudeness actually doesn't even exist. It just exists in the mind of the target. It does not mean that at all. Workplace rudeness, workplace mistreatment, and other forms of workplace mistreatment, like sexual harassment, like bullying, and even at the quote-unquote lower levels, less extreme levels, like rudeness in the workplace, is a problem, and we all deserve to be treated with respect and love and care in the workplace. I just want to make sure that that is absolutely clear. And there are jerks out there. There are narcissists out there. There are bullies out there. So we're doing everything we can to deal with that. And also, you have personal sovereignty in a situation. You have personal power in a situation where you are treated badly. You have a choice. And so even if you were to, like, in the moment, experience, like, if somebody were rude to you, says something completely just, like, disrespecting you and not giving you credit where it's due, and just being a complete jerk, honestly, being a complete asshole. If someone, I might even say when, the majority of us experience this at some point in our lives. When this happens to you, you do have the choice over what emotion you feel in that moment. So you can choose to laugh it off in that moment. You can choose to take it as funny. You can choose to accept it. You can choose to get curious about it. You could choose to be grateful in that moment. You can choose your emotional reaction. And that is going to buffer and possibly even eliminate any negative effects that you're going to feel because there's an asshole in the world. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't mean that that person has a right to continue to do that. And there are times you may choose to take a stand for yourself. We're not going to go into that in this particular podcast. But there may be times when you don't choose to laugh it off, that you choose to call them out from a place of strength and power, right? You could choose to feel confidence in that moment. You can choose to feel your power in that moment and call them out on it. It's always your choice. My point here in the context of this podcast is about your experience of stress and your personal sovereignty over your experience in life. You create your own reality. Even when someone treats you like a jerk, even when there is a stressor in front of you, whether it's a person or something else, you always have a choice. And the biggest lever, one of the biggest levers that you can pull in terms of ameliorating or even eliminating the negative effects that you feel in response to anything that might potentially be negative or bad or unwanted is how you feel, is your emotion. You have a choice. In every moment, you have a choice over what emotion you feel. There may be those knee-jerk emotional reactions. Those are inevitable. Those happen to everyone. I'm not talking about that, and I'm not talking about trying to control that. That's just going to lead to more stress. What I'm talking about is being able to notice in the moment how you're feeling and then choosing to shift it. Choosing, intentionally choosing to shift how it is that you're feeling in response to any stressor, in response to anything that may be happening in your world. How is this relevant to being a technical leader? How is this relevant to upgrading your career and transforming your career as a technical leader? I ask, how is it not? Because as a technical leader, the legend that you are, the badass that you are, there are potential stressors in your life all around you, at work and outside of work. At work, people and what people say is a potential stressor. Your process of leading, your process of building relationships with people, and particularly people who you might have personality clashes with, is a source of stress. Your process of influencing others and negotiating with others is a potential source of stress, is a potential stressor. The process of just wanting to have other people understand what it is that you're saying and getting your message out without it getting diluted, the other people stealing it, or at least feeling like others are stealing it. The process of evangelizing your excellence, the process of promoting yourself, the process of getting recognized is stressful. The process of earning money is, I should say, potentially stressful. work projects, deadlines, they're all stressful. And then outside of work, you have a whole bunch of potential stressors as well. You have your relationships at home, whether it's with your friends, whether it's with people who live with you, you know, your partners, your spouses, your children, you have your relationships with other family members. You have decisions. Decisions are potentially stressful. All the decisions that you need to make as a leader and also as a dad, as a mom, as a caregiver, as a human, the decisions can be potentially stressful. So there's so many areas in your life that are potentially stressful, and I don't point these out to paint a bleak and gloom picture. I point them out because they're gifts. They are gifts to you. They're gifts. So if we can influence how we respond emotionally and otherwise to what happens in the world, then, and if the struggle is optional, putting this all together now, putting it all together, if those are true, and they are, and I invite you to see the truth in them, then stress is a gift. Potential stressors is a gift, and even strain is a gift as well. Because even if you experience some strain, some negative effects of feeling stress, you still have a choice in how you're experiencing it, in the emotions that you feel around it. So we have all of these potential stressors around us, and I invite you, instead of seeing them as like dragons to fight and slay, or like potential bombs, you know, like coming your way, instead of seeing it that way, see them as gifts. See them as diamonds. See them as points of light, points of clarity for you to up-level who you are, for you to up-level your career, your prosperity, your impact, you. See them as opportunities to become an even better version of you, to evolve, to continually upgrade your internal programs. Because as you become even more conscious, even more aware, even more focused in a fun way, in an easy way, in a flowy way, on what's happening out there in the world, and even more aware and even more intentional about how you respond to what's happening out there in the world, you're going to experience them as gifts, as opportunities to open doors for yourself. Open doors externally, in terms of more opportunities to earn more money, to make more, to build more relationships, to make more of an impact, and also to open doors internally as well. Ooh, there's an internal shift I can make. Wow, cool, I just expanded. I just birthed a completely new internal operating system for myself. Wow, cool. And stressors, your potential stressors, can help us to do that. Using the example of an asshole. Using the example of someone who you might work with. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, by the way, if this is something that is in your world. And also, sorry, I'm not sorry, because it's a gift. It's a gift. This asshole, this narcissist, is an awesome gift to you. Because what a great opportunity to turn on your light, to turn on your joy, to turn on your gratitude, to turn on your strength. The strength of your psyche, the strength of your spirit, the strength of your brain, the strength of your body to stand tall and respond how the highest version of you would respond. And when you do that, you're not only sending a really strong message to the perpetrator, to the narcissist, you're also anchoring and sending a really strong message to yourself, to the world, to the universe, that I am here and don't mess with me. Don't fuck with me. One of my friends has a belief that when he wakes up, the devil goes, "Oh no. Don't fuck with me." Right? So it's the difference between somebody says something rude to you, like, and it's often very jarring. Like, isn't it interesting? Isn't it strange how, like, even though we know that that person is an asshole, we know that that person is a narcissist and a repeat mistreatment offender, it still surprises us often, right? When they act that way, because we think that they're going to, like, change, right? But they won't. They won't. Usually not, anyway. I'm not going to put a blanket statement on it, but usually they don't. So if they come to you and you say something like, "Yeah, you know, this email that you sent, I don't know why you sent this email. It's completely unintelligible, and I'm not sure whether you thought I was going to understand this or not. Why can't you just send more coherent emails?" Imagine somebody saying that to you, to your face, or like on a Zoom call. Whether it's in front of other people or not, although that does matter. You know, it might... often in front of other people, we might keep more calm, cool, and collected, right? So you might imagine that this happens like in private and there's nobody else around. Whatever works for you, whatever scenario you want to imagine. But like, in other words, you are internally fuming. This person basically just called you incompetent, incoherent, and incapable. You're fuming inside. Right? So whether or not we want to call that a stress response is up for debate, but you're fuming inside and you notice that you're fuming inside. Well, let's take the first scenario first. You're fuming inside and you don't notice that you're fuming inside and you're not ready to call forth the highest version of you. And you just respond with, "What the fuck, man? Seriously? Like, can you grow a little bit of a conscience, please?" Like, you might be like that because you might be from anger, but you also may feel very like in a diminutive state. That's often what a lot of bullies do. Like, they want to put you on the defensive. So you may feel on the defensive, but not in an angry way, in an "I'm sorry" kind of way. So you'd be like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Ugh, I know, I'm so sorry. I know, I'm really terrible at writing emails. Okay, here's really what I meant. Is that better?" Neither of those, by the way, is coming from your place of true power, is coming from your connection to the best version of yourself. Neither of them is. The more that you condition that, by the way, the easier this becomes. But let's also imagine a situation, the same situation, where you do notice that you are going to call forth your highest version of yourself. Then you still might be fuming inside, right? Like, make no mistake. Right, because what they said was uncalled for and just straight out mean and straight out disrespectful. So you're still fuming inside, but you notice in that split second that you're fuming inside. You take a deep breath. And then you intentionally choose how to respond from your place of personal power, while influencing your own emotional state. You stay calm, cool, and collected, and you say what you're gonna say, and you always have a choice. So you might choose to say something like, "I hear you. I'm not going to respond to that right now because that was very disrespectful." You may choose to say something like, I hear you. I understand you're upset about this. How about we talk about it later? When you're not going to disrespect me. Right? So that would be a form of calling people out on it. You may choose in that moment to not, for a variety of different reasons, because maybe you've called them out on it before and it did not go well, right? You don't want to incite more of the angry dragon / diamond / gift that has been given to you, right? So you may just choose to say, okay, I hear you. Thank you. I have other stuff to do now. And that's it. So it's a gift because it's not so much the gift that you're giving that other person, because that other person is going to make their own meaning out of what you're saying. And it honestly doesn't matter. We're talking about you, right? You have just powerfully chosen to be intentional. You have just powerfully chosen in the sight of that stressor, in the sight of that gold, that piece of gold that this just arrived in front of you in the form of an asshole. You just chose powerfully to stay calm, cool, collected, and in your zone of genius and greatness. That is a really powerful gift that you've just given yourself. It's like, game on, don't fuck with me. Right? So apply that to any other stressor. Stressors are gifts. At least you can make them gifts. Stress is an inevitable and glorious gift that we are given as leaders. And you get to choose how to make the most of those gifts. And if what I'm saying right now is really resonating with you, either because you're really feeling a fun urgency to manage your stress more in your life as a leader, or maybe it's for some other reason. There's some other fun urgency or fun calling forth to, yes, I want more of what you're talking about. I want to implement this in my life, in my career. I want to have the income and the impact and the freedom that I know that I'm capable of. I love these paradigm shifts and I want more of them and I want to fully embrace them and I want to make them my own. If that's what's calling to you right now, then now is the time to book a call with my team, thepeoplestack.com/book. You're going to have a fabulous conversation around what's going on in your career right now, what's going on in your life right now, what areas you want to upgrade, what areas you're frustrated that you can't upgrade, but you know there's an opportunity to do it when you make even more of these shifts with the best guide. We'll have a conversation with you and we'll let you know whether or not we are your best guide, whether it's going to be a perfect fit, and then we'll go from there. If it is a perfect fit, we're going to tell you, we're going to show you what that would look like. If it isn't going to be a fit, we're definitely still going to give you some great guidance so that you can continue forward on this journey towards becoming the best version of yourself, on this journey toward creating massive, ridiculous, ludicrous, and virtuous amounts of joy and prosperity, on this journey toward turning the obstacles into catapults and turning stress into a gift, the greatest gift that you've ever been given. That's all for today, folks. Aloha, cheers, and big hugs. And that wraps up another episode of the People Stack podcast. Thanks for listening and for supporting our mission. We are all helping to positively transform the tech world, one tech leader at a time. I have so much gratitude for all of you, for our badass clients, our loyal listeners, every one of you who we've worked with. And I have to give a special shout out to my husband, Rob Allen. He's my co-CEO, the love of my life, PeopleStack Client Zero. And it is such a fun ride, finding new, ridiculously unreasonable levels of prosperity, joy, and fun with him every single day. And a quick thank you to Ketza for creating the catchy, inspiring theme music that we get to use in our podcast. We love each and every one of you. Big, big hugs. Aloha and mahalo.